Hey, thanks so much, gang. Really appreciate that. And per that illustration, this morning we're going to talk about in the midst of demands and craziness and chaos, about finding something that's even better than balance, and that is a rhythm to your life. First of all, though, Natalie Bonilla. Natalie, are you in the service? Would you please raise your hand? There she is, right there. Natalie, just remain standing. We're welcoming Natalie into our church family today, and we are so glad to do so. Bless you. Welcome. Well, I'm not telling you anything you don't know when I say that everybody here's got plenty to do. You got a lot of stuff to do. You've got work to do, maybe at school, maybe at the office. It may be a paid job. It may be something you're doing voluntarily. And then you've got personal tasks. You got to sleep, got to brush your teeth, got to take a shower. Then you got some household chores to take care of. Somebody's got to buy food. Somebody's got to cook it. Somebody's got to eat it. Somebody's got to clean. Somebody's got to mow the lawn. Then you've got social obligations. Some of you are single. You're going on dates. Some of you have children. And so you've got sports leagues and carpools and all sorts of responsibilities there. And then there's, the unexpected that crops up. The idiolite comes on in the car, and so you got to, take the car in and have it serviced. You've Aunt Edna calls, and she's coming for a visit. There's a crisis down at the office, and we need your personal attention immediately. And then there are the things that are really important to you. The things that you want to do that make you sort of who you are and that reflect what's most precious and important to you. And when you think about everything that's on your plate, when you think about everything that's on your to-do list, sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. And when you think about it, do you ever get tired? Sure you do. And some of you, when you relax, do you feel guilty? Some of you may. And for some of you in this room, when anyone looks at you and says, "Hey, I think you work way too much," you consider that a compliment. And you say, "Well, thank you." It's not really a compliment. So today we're going to take a look at what God has to say about the rhythm of rest and about how important it is to engage in the ministry of self-care, to learn how to work hard, work productively, see our work as a mission, yes, but also to learn how to rest and refresh ourselves so that we can last over the long haul, okay? Very quickly, I've got four simple points. Here's the first one. What would Jesus say about this? What would Jesus do about this? When you take a look at the life of Jesus and how he handled the pace of life, I want you to note initially that he worked. He actually had things to do, and so he had tasks. Tasks were a part of his life. He was a carpenter, then he was a teacher and a rabbi. Not only that, but he related. He had relationships. Relationships were important to him. And so relationships were a part of his life. He had best friends. He had Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were outside of his 12 best friends, but they were dear to him. And you want to be that way too. You don't want to be the kind of person who just has a big career and a small heart. You want to have relationships as well. Psychologist and best-selling author Henry Cloud has written a book in which he talks about looking back at your wake, that everybody creates a wake. And it's important that every 6 months or so, you look in your rearview mirror and you look at the wake. That's not a very good photo of me, but it's the best I could find. And you look at the wake that you are creating. And he says, in essence, when you think of the wake, think of the two sides. Think of your task and think of your relationships. How are my tasks? Am I improving in my work? Am I being responsible? Am I learning new skills? Am I a valuable player? And then my relationships, the people with whom I work, would they want to work with me again? And those most important relationships in my life, what does my wife think about me right now? What do my children think of me now? And then my relationship with God. And so Jesus was involved in that too. He was involved in purposeful privacy, soul care. Soul care was a part of his life. And every few days, gang, there's nobody in this room is Superman. I love the old story about Muhammad Ali. He was one time he was flying And a flight attendant came by and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Ali, but you need to fasten your seatbelt." And he said, I'm Superman. I don't need no seatbelt." And without missing a beat, she said, "Superman don't need no airplane either. But as for you, you please go ahead and fasten your seatbelt." Well, you know, nobody in this room, Superman. And every few days, you are physically, emotionally, and spiritually going to need a recharging. All of us do. And so that leads to point number two. Key point number two, which is I'm going to encourage you not to think in terms of balance, but think in terms of rhythm. You'll hear this little phrase, "Oh, I'm pursuing the balanced life." Don't. It's a mirage. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a perfectly balanced life. The ideal of balance is a false ideal. And listen, it creates an impossible burden on our shoulders. When God established the original rhythm, and he placed into the theocratic nation of Israel how they should operate, he said what? You work 6 days and you rest on the seventh. And to show us how important that is, he set the example. God created the world in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh. Why? Because he was tired? No, he's setting an example. Now, that's not very balanced, is it? He didn't say work 3.5 and rest 3.5. But he said, but here's a rhythm. And by the way, he added to those, you know, Sabbath days during the year, an additional 37 days of celebrations and feasts and togetherness. People just coming together to celebrate who they are in our great God. So don't think balance, think rhythm. And what that means is I'm encouraging you to release those killer expectations. Those expectations you place on yourself. Listen, for some of you, for a lot of you in this room, your problem is not discipline. You think, oh, if I were just more disciplined. Your problem is not organization. Your problem is not that you have yet to stumble across the ideal time management system. Here's the problem. There's not enough time for you to get everything done that you have convinced yourself, or you have allowed someone else to convince you that you must get done. And you need to kiss some of those killer expectations goodbye. You prioritize your life. And secondly, you think in terms of seasons and stages. And here's the question I think we should ask. We ask, what can I only do in this season and stage of my life? Years ago, Martha and I, you know, we were younger. We were at a marriage seminar, you know, just trying to invest in our marriage, maintain the marriage. And this guy's talking about all the things you need to be doing to nurture your marriage. And he said, you need to be doing these things regularly, except in the case of an emergency. And then he said, and if you have a child who's 3 years old or younger, you live in a perpetual state of emergency. In other words, he said, you got to take a look at your season of life and your stage in life. And I mean, let me ask you something. Have you ever gone through a trauma or a loss that so emotionally wounded you for the next 6 months, for the next year, for the next 2 years, all you could do was just, you know, what's my goal? What do I hope to accomplish? Get up. Get out of bed. Put one foot in front of the next one and see if I can do it again tomorrow. And that's what you can do in that season and in that stage. Several years ago, I'm in my mid-30s, and I realized, you know, I'm not going to have these kids at home forever. So I took a look at my responsibilities, particularly my outside commitments. I was doing a lot of things outside my work here. I would travel a lot. I'd speak different places. I was had an invitation to serve on the board of a Christian school in another place. I was part of some relationship groups, mentoring groups, etc. And I took a look at all that and I said, enough. Not that they're bad. They were very, very good. And some of my good friends said, Ronnie, what are you doing? I mean, these are good visibility options for you. Career-wise, this is not These are not good choices. I weighed all that. I canceled everything. Said no to everything outside of here. I said, I'm going to do weddings in this church. I'm going to do funerals in this church. And I'm going to be there for my kids, and I'm going to coach Little League Baseball in First Colony. And let me tell you something. I have zero regrets over that decision. Now, I made lots of bad decisions. Don't get me wrong. I have zero regrets there. What uniquely in this season of my life, at this stage of my life, can I only do now? And then just realize you're going to oscillate between work and rest. You're not going to be perfectly balanced. Years ago, I'm taking flying lessons. And my instructor also flew helicopters. And one day he said, hey, you want to go up in a chopper? Yeah, great. So we go up in a Bell Jet Ranger helicopter. Now, I didn't take off. He took off. He landed. But he let me fly once we got up. And he let me try to hover. And he said, now, Ronnie, hovering, we're going to balance ourselves, but we're never going to be perfectly stable. It's like being on top of a ball, and we're constantly adjusting back and forth. Listen, that's what you do. You're never perfectly balanced. You oscillate between work and rest. And every job has its harvest season. You work in retail sales, it's Christmas. Tax season doesn't last forever, but listen, when it's there, when it's on you, it's harvest time. Every job has that. And there's a strong push, there's a sprint, and then you pull back for a time of rest. Let me put some phrases up here on the screen. I encourage you to divert daily. Do something every day that gives you a little break, whatever it may be. Go for a walk, go for a jog, some little fun thing every single day. When my kids were still at home, one thing I would try to do before I got home was to make sure that I was mentally prepared to walk in the door. I would almost picture myself often taking off a backpack and hanging it up because I did not want to walk through that front door and be a passive puddle of protoplasm. I wanted to be there. And to remind myself that the people I'm about to encounter, this is the single most important appointment of the day. But every single day, divert daily, withdraw weekly, take that day off. Quiet down quarterly. Take a look at your schedule, and if you can, do a little mini break. And abandon annually where for a week or two you get away and disengage. And when you work, listen, when you push and work hard and rest, oscillate, you restore balance, you rejuvenate energy, you regain perspective. But if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to get meaner. Your temper is going to get shorter. People are going to look worse. Problems are going to look bigger. And God is going to feel farther and farther away. Point number three, very quickly, you must acknowledge a huge difference between selfishness and self-care. And let me tell you why this is important. You are responsible, conscientious people. Very conscientious. And you do not want to be selfish and you do not want to be self-indulgent. But there is a big difference between being self-indulgent and taking care of yourself. Invest in yourself. Take care of your body, your soul, your spirit, and your relationships. That's not a waste of time. Let me go back and read to you from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 5, what the Lord has to say about the Sabbath day. The word Sabbath means rest. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. In 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. By the way, somebody says, now, is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? Answer, no. Jesus is the Christian Sabbath. In Jesus, we have ultimate rest. And we're not commanded. Now, Sunday is the Lord's Day, the New Testament calls it, the day on which believers, we gather, we worship, and we celebrate the hope we have in Christ. But listen, but the rhythm of rest is significant and important. So what are you going to do in this rhythm of rest? Let me mention a few things. Here they are. First of all, rest. Actually, rest. God gives you permission to take a Sunday afternoon nap, and not a Sunday morning nap, but a Sunday afternoon nap, okay? Now, you say, when I relax, I feel guilty. Don't. Jesus relaxed. He didn't feel guilty. Secondly, recreate. Engage in some recreation, some activities, listen, that have no utilitarian value. Okay, well, I need to play golf, need to do something like that, but let me do a business contact, some strategic kind of thing. Engage in some activities that simply feed your soul and remind you what a good God we have and what a good world this is, and that life is not just to be endured, but to be enjoyed as well. Go for a long walk. Go for a ride in the car. Ride a motorcycle. Baptize golf balls. Maybe you love music. Learn to play an instrument. Maybe you love to cook and you want to hang out with other people who love to cook. Maybe you love to eat and you want to hang out with other people who love to cook. And so what you want to do is find something that just brings a little joy. And thirdly, relate. Relate. When you spend time with your family or your grandchildren, that is not wasted time. Well, you know, I really should be doing, and there are other people. The most important relationships in your world, weekly, make sure they get some attention. Fourthly, reflect. Some reflection time. And reflection time doesn't happen when I move quickly from point to point to point. But when I stop and ask, how are those relationships? What is the condition of my soul? Am I becoming shorter tempered, meaner spirited? What is it about my life right now I may be pretending not to know? And then last of all, you remember. I don't want to be the kind of person who just works and plays, but the kind of person who works and plays and remembers who I am. What was it God said about honoring the Sabbath? He says, I want you to remember that you were a slave. You had no hope. You were locked in, and I came in and I redeemed you and rescued you and brought you out and gave you hope. And that's what happens when we gather on Sunday and we worship. We remind ourselves that our God is crazy about us, that he sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins, and we are people of a noble and high destiny. Last of all, what's going to keep you from this? What will keep you from engaging in appropriate soul care? I read an article some time ago that used four word pictures. I thought it was right on target. I'm going to borrow those four word pictures now. Here they are. What will keep you from appropriate soul care? Number one, ladders. And that represents vocational achievement at all costs. Please don't mishear me. Love your job. Do a good job. Pursue good work. But don't allow your self-esteem and your self-worth to get wrapped up in that ladder. And please do not buy into the lie that says success at work equals success at life. So that you're so busy climbing the ladder, God gets leftovers. Your spouse gets leftovers. Secondly, smiley faces. In a room this size, the reality is that some of you try to gain the approval or certainly avoid the disapproval of almost everybody in your life, and getting that smiley face, getting that sense of approval is so important that you might say yes and 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 yes too much. Thirdly, for some of you, it's padlock. Represents security. And this is different from the latter in that, listen, it's important to pay attention to the condition of your stocks and bonds and your financial accounts, but our ultimate security is wrapped up in our great God who loves us and who cares for us, and no amount of fretting can control that. Now, Martha and I, we've got a couple of birds. We have a couple of house guests right now, two doves. Out on our back porch, right under our, right over the overhang, the ceiling on our back porch. two doves, and they've made their home there. They've got little babies up there. We've named them. Our doves' names are Homer and Betty. And a lot of you know Homer and Betty, an absolute wonderful couple who they were a great, great partnership. And these doves are so fun to watch. Homer has the morning shift. And Betty has the evening shift. And sure enough, Homer, he's up there in the morning. And the afternoon, Martha will say, it's incredible to watch. Betty will fly in, let Homer know she's there. And then he'll take off and Betty will come right up. And then it's her turn now to just sit right there on that nest. But I was thinking about them the other day. And how that Jesus said, God knows where every bird is. And that when one bird falls to the ground, not only does God know, but he cares. And then he said, and you are so much more important. Those birds are important, but you're so much more important than those birds. And pay attention to your accounts. But release your future security to our God who knows you and who loves you. And he says, you seek first my kingdom. I'm going to pay attention to you. And last of all, what's going to keep some of you from appropriate soul care? Fruit. Let me tell you what this represents. Good deeds, good works, and I hope that what I'm about to say is not misinterpreted. Because I love the church. And I want you to be involved and happy in the life of the church. But it is possible for you to be too involved for too long. And you don't step away and step back and give yourself a Sabbath from even doing good things. And when you don't step back and give yourself a Sabbath, even from serving the people of God, problems are going to feel bigger. People are going to look worse. You're going to get shorter tempered. God is going to feel farther away. And sometimes, even from doing something very, very good, it's important to just withdraw for a little. I didn't say retire. I didn't say quit. I didn't say, you know, chuck it all. But to embrace that rhythm of work and rest. All right. I drive a Toyota Camry, and it's pretty cool. It's got an accelerator, and it has a brake. Both are important. If all I do is use that accelerator, I'm going to crash. Got to use the brake as well. In your life, you've got an accelerator. You go. And you go strong, and you need to. But you also have a brake, and God invites you. Please don't confuse self-care with being self-indulgent. Invest in the care of your body, your soul, your spirit, your relationships. And listen, only you can choose when to use the brake in your life. If you will, please look in your order of worship. You'll see a communication card. I'm going to ask that you fill that out. And in just a moment, we're about to enter into a time of prayer where you're going to be invited to come down here and pray with our church leaders. And so, elders, if I may be asking you to come down, please, and take your places here. Back to that communication card. If you've got a prayer request you'd like to turn in, just fill out that card, and our ushers will be collecting those cards in just a little bit. There's also a place on this communication card where if you would like to have a conversation with somebody here, one of our leaders, about identifying with our church, about taking the next step of faith, about baptism, we would love to have that conversation with you. And at this time, we're going to stand and sing and pray together, and you're invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples. It would be our privilege to pray with you. Okay, let's stand, let's sing, let's worship, let's pray together.